When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do bumblebees sign their emails? Swarm, regards.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Your show was better when you had medical questions. Hey!
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio. No, a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who gives me street cred with the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
Also in studio, we have NP Mel B. Hello, NP Mel B.
Hello.
We'll be talking to you in just a minute. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to a regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at drscottwm. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything here with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right. One thing that you might be interested in, and this is new, is we're going to be doing a Patreon, and the Sirius XM show will be a little different from the podcast, which is free, and then the Patreon will be a completely different thing. So during the times of trouble, which was during, you know, the lockdown, the first year of the podcast, Dr. Scott was banned from the studio because it's very close quarters. We didn't know what the hell was going on. So my wife, Tacy, was my co-host, and she loves to give me shit, and she likes to drink, and she's, you know, I'm not a funny person. She's pretty funny. So people really liked it. Well, we thought we might try, and we're just going to try this, Weird Medicine, the special edition. What the special edition is, it will be 30 to 45-minute podcasts about three times a month with some other old classic Weird Medicine stuff thrown in at Patreon. So go to patreon.com/weirdmedicine. Check it out. There's a $5 tier. I mean, I know everybody's paying for stuff now, but some of the stuff we're going to do on there, I don't want just kind of out there. It needs to be behind a paywall. So patreon.com/weirdmedicine. Give it a try. Dr. Scott will be there some. I'm sure DJ Mel B will be there, Lady Diagnosis. We're going to do some more, get back to some more fun things, and there will be a lot more Big Joe on that show. Because it's hard to get her over here when we record this, but it'll be easy to do this because we're going to do it on Saturday. And we might record three shows at once. And then as she continues to drink, every third show then, see, will be a drinking show.
Or I'll a be there show. For that.
Yeah, you could just come for that one.
That works.
Anyway, check out stuff.drsteve.com. It's holiday season for all your holiday shopping. Go to stuff.drsteve.com. Click straight through to go to Amazon or scroll down to see all the stuff we talk about. If you want stocking stuffers, tweakedaudio.com. Use offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D, for 33% off the best earbuds for the price and the best customer service anywhere. And then don't forget Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. You got anything on there these days?
Nothing new.
Okay, but it's still got some good stuff on there. Simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. All right. So, yeah, very good. So welcome to the studio. You already saw Scott and me get to yell at each other for 30 seconds.
Very entertaining.
Because he's being an asshole.
So. It is my fault.
It always is your fault. It's my show, my microphone.
That is true. You are the commander of the console.
No, I'm a control freak, and I think other people should be a control freak. And so, you know, I just want her to be able to control her own stuff. That's all. Because it's, you know,
but
I wouldn't.
You didn't see her eyes staring at me, begging for help.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah, she was like.
So we have a headphone. Nobody cares about this. No. This is, you know.
No. God damn, this is about as boring.
Yeah,
as
I get it, dude. Dude,
wife.
I get it. Okay, so it'll just take 2 seconds. You know what? Never mind. I was being an asshole, but I was, you know, like I said, I just would like for everybody to be able to control their own headphone volume. But Scott was trying to be a gentleman and help the damsel.
While somebody else was trying to get these
in distress.
Crazy
yes.
cameras.
Well, that
only
is true. The
I
cameras.
Have a little head.
You have a little tiny head.
I do have a tiny head.
That is true. My wife has a little tiny head, too. So you two would get along just fine. And Mel B has done 2 shots of
woo-hoo.
what tequila is that? Let me see.
I don't know. Whatever you gave me.
Oh, it's Luna Azul.
Yum.
Ooh, Reposado. Okay, very good. 40% alcohol by volume. Oh, jeez.
I'm telling you, better speed this show up.
Yeah, okay, we're going to get on.
She's not going to be vertical for long.
I got a third one poured.
She's not going to be vertical for long.
No point in being nervous. Because it's just us and, I don't know, 100,000 people listening to us
right now.
Is
that all?
Never take.
Hey, we should probably just get into it then while you're here. And then I know I asked you to bring a medical story. Dr. Mm-hmm. Scott, I sent a bunch of them to him.
Yep.
And then we're going to take some medical questions. I didn't have time to download any, but we got a million of them that haven't been done yet.
Right on.
So. And most of them non-COVID, by the way. But
cool.
We wanted to. You and I are going to do a video together.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're not going on TV.
Yeah, as soon as the show is over, after she does her 5th shot, Scott, you're the videographer.
Oh, shit. I may need a shot for this.
All right. This is 2021, Harvey. I need to shut up with that kind of stupid shit. But we are doing a video together.
We are.
We got the script the other day, and it has to do with the tale of 2 COVID cases. And what this is really about is the fact that 30% of people who are eligible for monoclonal antibodies, which keeps people out of the hospital
right.
and keeps them from dying, not 100% of the time, but way more than if you don't do it, are only 30% of people who are eligible are actually getting it.
Right.
And you have a story of woe, and I have a story of ultimate triumph. So why don't you tell your story first, and then we'll contrast what happened to the two of us.
I've never been so sick in my life.
Well, you are young and healthy.
I am young and healthy.
Except?
I have autoimmune disorders.
Okay, and you don't have to say what they are,
no.
but
okay.
you do.
I do. I do have autoimmune disorders.
Okay.
So I got COVID. And the first...
Do you know how you got it?
I do.
You don't have to name any names.
It was my mother. She loves me so much that she gave me her COVID.
She just had to share it with you, honey.
She is precious.
Yeah.
And she gave me the COVID.
Gave you the covert?
Yep.
That's what Big Joe called it. Well, I've got covert.
Yes. And because I was in public and was away from everyone else.
Yeah.
But sitting next to my mom and felt like that was safe, and I took my mask off.
Sure.
Shouldn't have.
Well,
should have left it on in public.
No, but you understand.
Right.
I mean, you're a nurse practitioner. The mask doesn't protect you from getting it from somebody. It
no.
protects other people from getting it from you.
Yeah. She didn't have one on either.
Yeah. Well, there
so
you go.
So she was not
issue.
Having any symptoms at the time.
Of course.
Yeah. She was fine. She started having some symptoms the next day.
Okay.
It was 2 days after that I started having symptoms. So 3 days after I had contact with her.
Yeah.
3 or 4 days. And I started, and it hit immediately. My nose was running like a sugar tree, just constant. Yeah. Fever immediately, body aches, and I went to bed. Okay. I was in the bed for 4 days.
Now, did anybody at this point, did your primary care know that you had COVID at this point?
That was on a Friday. I called them first thing Monday morning.
Okay. You called them first thing Monday morning.
And had a televisit phone mm-hmm. call with the doctor and or with the nurse practitioner and never once mentioned the antibodies.
Oh, okay. Well, right. You know where I'm going.
Right.
So you told them on, it was really, okay, so Friday evening is when you got sick, right? So
Friday evening.
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before evening. So it was 48 plus. It was less than 72 hours.
It was.
Okay, so you have this visit, and what do they say?
They told me they sent me in some steroids, told me to get some Mucinex and vitamins and to take those and just symptom management.
Really? Some vitamins?
Some vitamins.
What vitamins would those be?
C and D.
Okay, D I'm okay with because that was sort of common parlance.
Yeah.
All right. They tell you to take zinc?
Yes.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They did zinc.
Well, all right.
And magnesium. Plus, I take a multivitamin anyway.
Yeah.
So I kept taking it.
Okay. And then what happened?
I got sicker
mm-hmm.
and continued running fever. I think I ran a fever for like 7 straight days.
Ugh.
And just kept getting sicker. The cough started getting bad. And that's when I started having trouble breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It was about day 5 or 6.
Day 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so day 5 or 6, you start having, quote-unquote, trouble breathing. What mm-hmm. does that mean?
I was just getting real short of breath every time I'd get up.
Uh-huh.
And even just walk to the bathroom, very short of breath.
Do you have a pulse oximeter?
I did.
Oh.
It was in the low 90s.
Give yourself a bill!
Okay.
So in the low 90s, a couple times got down to like 88, and that's when I called the doctor again.
Okay, so on
when
day
it was in the 80s,
and that what day was that?
That was on Thursday of the next week, Thursday morning.
Okay, so we're talking right around the 7th day, mm-hmm. sixth day. Okay, so at day 6, you call them, and your oxygen saturation, which for people who don't know, your oxygen saturation is something that we can measure. Multiple ways, but the easiest way to do is with one of these little meters. It passes mm-hmm. a red light, and it can tell from the basically the color that's reflected or transmitted through your finger how much oxygen your blood is carrying.
Right.
And normally, it can be 100%. I mean, it can be 100% if you're on oxygen. On room air, it's going to be somewhere between 96 and 98%.
Right.
Okay, it can't go higher than 100.
No.
Okay. So yours was down in the 88, which is when we see people with emphysema and stuff like that are having a problem.
Right.
We see those. So this was not normal.
No. They told me to use my albuterol inhaler.
Okay.
More
so
often.
Albuterol being an inhaler that is a beta, what we call a beta agonist that opens up the airways
right.
in people who have asthma. So you had asthma too? Why'd you have an inhaler?
I've had asthma for a really long time.
Okay.
But
so asthma
very,
and
very
autoimmune disorder.
So Thursday they started talking about getting me the antibodies because I mentioned it to my provider.
So you brought it up.
I did because a good friend of mine.
Okay.
A good friend of mine told me I should.
Who was that?
You.
Oh, me? Oh,
give
yeah.
yourself a bill.
All right.
So they scheduled me.
So, yeah, you called me and said I'm sicker than shit. And
yes.
I said, go
get the antibodies.
You need to have the antibodies.
Right.
So then you mention it to them and then they go, oh, okay.
Right. So they got me scheduled for first thing Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Yes.
So this is a week into it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
the limit's 10 days.
10 days.
Okay.
So I go to get my antibodies the next morning. They could not get an IV on me. I was still running a fever. At that point, my oxygen.
That's a long time to run a fever.
Yeah, I was miserable.
Adult.
I was so confused. But at that point, I think my blood pressure was 70s over 40s.
Ooh.
My heart rate was steady in the 40s. There was a couple.
What?
Yes.
You were bradycardic?
I was very bradycardic.
Okay, so for people, I just used a bunch of jargon because we're in the same thing. Bradycardia means slow heart rate.
Right.
And it's defined as a heart rate lower than 50. So that is abnormal. God, did you walk in there?
I did. Barely.
Wow.
I was exhausted.
Yeah.
So they get me in the chair and hook me up to all the things. And at that point, they were asking me questions about my disease progression, you know, how things had gone over the last week.
Why did you wait so long?
Right. You know, why I still had a fever. And at that point, whenever I was talking, my oxygen was dropping down. The lowest it got was like 78%. And when that happened, the heart rate went down into the 30s.
And then they said.
And I saw the monitor and I thought, this is it.
Yeah.
And this is where it goes bad.
So if you had not been yakking, your oxygen saturated would have been saturation.
It was steady in the 80s.
Oh, it was still in the 80s.
Right.
So they still wouldn't have done it.
No.
Okay.
So they wouldn't do it.
Because I was just thinking, you know, if you hadn't been ratchet jawing, maybe you could have gotten the infusion. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of the story. So yeah. Go ahead.
So at that point, they wouldn't give me the infusion.
Yep.
They couldn't get an IV started anyway.
Yep.
They sent me to.
You know, you don't need an IV to do these.
They talked about doing it sub-Q.
Yep. Okay. So you can do it subcutaneously, meaning that you do 4 injections in the abdomen under the skin.
Right.
So, yeah.
They decided that might not be the best idea.
Yeah, no.
Because they were terribly afraid I was going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
So they were getting ready to call an ambulance. I told them my mom was outside, my sweet, caring, giving mother.
Who also has COVID.
Who also has COVID, was outside in the car. And
breaking
she,
isolation. But you do what you need to do
but
for
she,
your kids.
Yeah, she stayed in the car. She just drove me to the facility and stayed in the car. So I told them she was in the car and she could take me. So I just got in the car with her, and she drove me to the hospital.
They called the emergency room, told them you were coming.
They
we got
did.
A COVID-positive patient coming, and she's close to crumping.
Yes.
And then what?
So they brought me in, gave me some fluids, which helped put me on oxygen, which also helped. As soon as they put me on 2 liters of oxygen, I came up. I was back up in the 90s with that. So that was when they called my doctor and got everything set up for oxygen at home and let me go home because I would not stay.
These are folks, these days, particularly at that time when we were getting crushed with COVID cases,
right, it was bad.
They were sending people home with oxygen who normally we would have admitted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm suspecting they might not have wanted to admit you in the first place because you are otherwise young and otherwise, you know, healthy and were stable otherwise.
But right.
That's a little touch and go. So you never did get the antibodies.
I never did get the antibodies.
Yeah. So what you don't know is when you were going to the hospital, I was calling some people and saying, listen, if she dies, there's going to be hell to pay.
Well, I appreciate that. My kids do, too. I was kind of, I think, on the phone.
Because I was a little worried at the time.
Yes. On the way to the hospital, I was on the phone with you. And I think those were my exact words.
Yeah.
Don't let me die.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I had something to do with fixing that. But anyway, the good news is you are young and healthy. But are you back to normal?
No.
Okay. So how long has it been? How long has it been?
It has been since the end of August.
August. So the end of August. So let's just say first September. So all of September and now all of October.
Yes.
Because we're recording this on October 27th. And what is not normal?
My voice, for one.
Yeah.
I thought that was just your sexy, smoking voice.
People are going to get me for
your sexy, smoky voice.
Your vocal fry, but that actually, you can't do anything about it.
No, that's it. Yeah. This is me.
Yeah.
This is me now.
Your voice doesn't normally sound like this.
Not quite, no.
So your voice, you can deal with that because your voice actually sounds pretty hot now.
Aww.
I say we need a singer for our band, a Christy, a female voice.
Can you sing?
Yes.
No.
Because he sure can't.
I sure can't, yeah.
No.
Perfect.
It's bad.
Then you'll be great.
Okay.
Well, perfect.
You two will be perfect.
We need to get you right to
do a duet with Sky.
Our harmonies will be perfect.
As long as everyone's deaf.
We might be onto something. We might, after this is over...
when the people are listening on the live stream, we might try that.
That's right. Yes, she'll have her third shot.
Actually, Scott has really got a great voice. Yeah. He just needed some training.
I really do not.
Yeah, but one more shot of tequila and you think you will.
Anyway.
That is true.
Can you please stop bullshitting?
Okay. So, yeah. So you're not, so your voice, what else?
So my voice. It has caused inflammation in my thyroid.
Mm.
And so I'm waiting for an appointment to see if we're going to leave my thyroid in or take it out.
Really?
Yeah, my thyroid, like all my hormones, the TSH and my free T4, everything's a little off.
You still on steroids?
No, not on steroids anymore.
Did you gain weight or lose weight with all of this?
I've gained weight.
Okay.
Probably because of the thyroid.
I know I did.
But yes, I've probably gained maybe 10 or 15 pounds since I had COVID.
Yeah. Well,
I still can't smell real good.
No.
No.
Can't smell.
But I can taste.
Gained weight. Okay, good. You can taste. Shortness of breath?
Occasionally, if I really push.
So, my story is a little different.
It is.
I'm, what, 30 years older than you are?
At least.
Right?
Yeah. No, not 30.
Yeah, I think so. I'm 66, so you don't have to say, but I'm, okay. All right,
you're 20 years older than me.
Okay, 25, 20.
Couple, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't. I'm 27.
You don't. I was thinking you were like in your low 30s, but.
Aw, are you sweet?
No, for real. Well, I'm just terrible at it. If they hired me at the carnival to gauge people's weight, I would just be giving prizes away right and left. They would lose so much money.
You would fail.
But I always think people are younger than they are. But. I could have just let that compliment lie, and I just had to ruin it by saying that. But anyway, no, you do. You look to me.
You're
look
sweet.
Very young. So I'm 66. I did get the antibodies.
You did?
Day one, if you think about it. Within the first 24 hours, I got them. And because I was in the Pfizer trial, what we have is this diary that you have to fill out. And the diary has to be filled out once a week. As a matter of fact, I need to do it today. And I'll do it while we're talking. No, I'm going to do it while we're talking. Yeah, it'll just take 2 seconds.
Multitasking.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm multitasking. Oh, Scott, go fuck yourself. And then.
The cameras are crashing.
Here it is. The stupid cameras. So it's really just a one-question survey, and it asks me, have you experienced any of the following? A diagnosis of COVID-19, fever, new or increased cough, and so I'm going to say no. I click next, and I click save. Now, so the Pfizer trial, they weren't looking to see if people were infected. They were looking to see if people were sick, because they never, that I remember, yanked me in to just do a PCR test, because that's how you would tell if people had asymptomatic disease, right? And maybe there were a couple of times that we had to come in for a routine visit and they would test us. But other than that, what they were really looking at was this diary. And the diary, I was telling them I wasn't sick until I was. And the day that I said I was sick, they called me right away. Said, you answered yes on this. Hmm. We need to get you in. And I said, okay. And so I had to drive over there, and I had a fever of 103, and drove over, and this was day two. I found out at 4 p.m. on Monday that I had it. By 10 a.m. on Tuesday, I was over there. They brought the PCR test out for me to do. I did it in my car, and then they tested it. They did the 20-minute found that it was positive and said, do you want the antibodies? And I'm like, well, hell yeah, I do. Now, this was my wife's birthday, by the way. She had the shittiest birthday. That night, you know, here I am. I'm still, after you get it, you feel like shit. You still have a fever.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm not even opening my presents. So my birthday is the week after, so we celebrated our birthday on the on the next day, on my birthday. We celebrated both of ours together. But anyway, she took me up, and they did the four injections. Felt like I'd been hit by a brick truck or a Mack truck or a ton of bricks. I mixed a couple of metaphors there. And they said, you're going to feel like shit after you get it. You might feel worse before you feel better. And I absolutely did. I felt like a pile of crap. I had myself isolated up here in the studio, and then I have a room down there with a bathroom. I put up a sheet and just kept us separate. But the next morning, 5 a.m, 17 hours after getting the antibody injection, I woke up and I looked at the ceiling. I said, "What is wrong?" And I was like, "Wait a minute, I feel normal."
That's awesome.
That's cool. I've told this story before, but it probably bears in this context telling it again. And my fever was gone. My temp was 98.6, and my oxygen saturation, which had started to drop, it never got below 95, was back up to 99.
That's
on room
awesome.
Air. And then, you know, I didn't miss a day of work.
No, you kept working from home.
I did. I did telehealth from home, and I did meetings and stuff like that. So, yeah, I didn't take a single day of sick leave. So, a little different. How long were you out?
I was out of work, for 3 weeks? I think 2.5, 3 weeks.
Yeah, so you did the 10 days and still just weren't ready to come back.
No, I was exhausted. So, and then when I did come back to work, it was all I could do just to get through the day. Yeah. I came straight home and just crashed.
Yeah.
I was exhausted.
So the moral of the story is, if you meet the criteria for getting these, you should get them. And primary care providers that are listening to this, think about it. This is the problem. They didn't think about it in you because you are young and healthy. They were like, "Well, we just give her zinc and stuff." But really, you met criteria day one.
I did.
Because of your autoimmune disorder.
Mm-hmm. Now, my mom.
And your asthma, really.
My mother and her husband.
Yep.
She is 70.
Okay.
He is 80.
Yeah.
They both got sick, you know, the same day.
Yeah.
Their physician ordered it for them. The day that they showed up to get the, let's see.
I remember this story.
About day 5.
Which is still, in my opinion, too long. We need to, the earlier we do this, the better.
Because I'm wanting to think it was Wednesday when they tested positive. It was early the next week when they went to get the medicine, because that's when I went down there.
Yeah, we got to work on streamlining this.
Getting everybody in.
Yep.
So they showed up to get it. He was way, way, way too sick. He left there in an ambulance because he was crashing.
Yeah.
My mom, they did give her the injections, and she had them in her abdomen because she didn't want to wait because she wanted to get the hospital with him.
Yeah.
And he got in, and they wanted to intubate him immediately.
Wow.
And he refused, being 80 years old. He
Good
just said,
him.
Absolutely not. They did BiPAP on him, and he was on
BiPAP is non-invasive in ventilation, where you know, it's a mask, and you get a good seal, and then there's pressure in and pressure out.
Right.
So
they put him on that, and he was on that for days.
Yeah.
And he was in the hospital for 2 weeks, I think, almost. Before they let him finally get home. And he's still very weak. He's not on, he's on oxygen when he sleeps.
Yeah.
But that's it. And he was never on oxygen before.
And you're not committing a HIPAA violation because these are family members.
He's my family, and I did not treat him.
Yeah, right. And also they gave you permission to talk about
him. Yes.
Okay. So, wow. Crazy. Now, all of three of you had been vaccinated, though,
yes.
right? Yeah, yeah. So it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that all three of you are alive may have something very significantly to do with the fact that you had cellular immunity, even though you might not have had humoral immunity. And our listenership is, they're pretty sophisticated. So they understand the difference between cellular immunity, which are the memory B cells and T cells and those things that will remember this, but take a while to generate the ability to kill viruses. And then antibodies that are just floating around, and that's humoral immunity that can prevent you from getting infected in the first place. So, all right, good deal. Have you had your booster yet?
No,
you have
not
to wait
yet.
90 days, right?
90 days, so planning on it next month.
Yeah, I have to get mine, I think, December 7th because I had my infusion on September 7th. So,
For your booster?
Yep.
I got mine last
Did
last
you?
Friday. Yeah.
Good.
It whipped my ass for about 24 hours.
Did it?
Oh, mother.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to whip my ass as bad as the Shingrix one did.
I don't think
so. The shingles one.
No, I don't think so. Mine was 24 hours pretty much.
Yeah. I was 4 days with that Shingrix. But I recommend people get it because it's better than getting shingles in your eye.
Yep. Ooh, yes.
Or anywhere else.
And then
anywhere.
Then post-herpetic neuralgia, you know, the pain that can persist for years, if not the rest of your lifetime, in your eye. Because that's one of the places you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then Dr. Scott and I are always talking about how getting the cystoscopy when you're a male sucks so bad. But we still recommend people get it if they need it. It wasn't that bad. It just sucked.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it sucked really bad. But the reason we talk about that is more because it's hilarious that the urologist puts jelly on the end of the endoscope, the cystoscope, before they jam it in your penis, and all that does is make them feel better. It doesn't make us feel better.
No, doesn't help.
No. Anyway, you guys have a shorter run, so it's not so bad.
It's still not pleasant.
Have you had one?
No.
Oh, well, then you don't know.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
All right. Let's see. Do we... okay. Al, and you guys brought some stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
NPL Mel B, you were going to bring a story. What did you bring for us today?
Well, what's the strangest thing you've ever found in a vagina?
The strangest thing? That would be Dr. Scott's penis.
Yes. Yes, but only...
I deserve that. Mm. Why would I find that? That joke doesn't make any sense. Unless it was severed.
Then that would be pretty strange. Yeah, that'd be weird.
Okay. Yeah. But I have found some things, mostly old tampons.
That has happened.
Where people will have intercourse when they are having their period sometimes, and they'll just push the tampon up and say, oh, well, I'll take it out later, and then forget about it.
Right.
And then the next morning, they'll put another one in and take that one out, but they leave the old one in. And you can usually tell that that's happening because the smell is...
horrid.
Outrageous.
Worse than C. diff.
Yeah, and when you...
Yeah, that's kind of a sweet smell.
Yeah, C. diff does kind of have sort of a sweet, shitty smell. What we're talking about is Clostridium difficile or Clostridium difficile, depending on how you pronounce your Latin.
Difficile.
And it is a bacterial infection of Clostridium difficile in the bowel that causes a thing called pseudomembranous colitis. Don't worry about what that is. But it does have a distinctive smell, and there are some nurses and some ID people and a few of us that have been in the business long enough that can tell it just by smelling it.
Oh, yeah, you can walk down the hall.
Yeah, and you know there's
and know
a
that
C. diff.
There's a C. diff patient.
But anyway,
it smells worse than that. Worse than that.
Yeah.
Terrible smell.
Yeah, it's just a rotten... I can't describe it.
No.
Like, you know, there's protein, sort of rotten protein smell, and just the odor of you know, 10,000 times worse than any bad breath you've ever smelled. If there's, you know, horrible dental caries, which is really mm-hmm. kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. but it's caused by anaerobic bacteria mostly.
Yes.
And it just, it has a gray black slime on that tampon when you finally remove it.
Yes.
And then that takes care of it. Once you get rid of it, the vagina can take care of itself. So that's probably the worst thing I've ever found. Mm-hmm. Tell us your story.
Most interesting thing.
Yes.
Is...
Hang on one second. Hey, can we get some music for this, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. No, I'm
some
ready
music
now.
Now?
I'm ready now, yeah. Oh, thank you.
a Coke bottle cap.
Okay.
Oh!
Okay, tell us this story.
So...
Now, is this somebody, did you read this, or is this a true story? Okay, so you heard about it.
Right, I
heard
about
it. About it. Yeah. Okay, tell us.
So,
because we got to be careful.
A male and female patient come in, mm-hmm. Concerned that they may have contracted an STD and okay. wanted to be checked. The male complained of lesions on the tip of his penis.
Okay.
And wanted those looked at to see if maybe he had something.
Okay.
She complained of a discharge and an odor.
Okay.
So after the patients were separated and the exam took place, the lesions on his penis appeared to be abrasions, which okay. was really strange. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, had no idea how they got there, but were not like herpatic.
Yeah.
Weren't wart looking.
Right, so they weren't caused by herpes. They didn't look like genital warts.
That's right. So then the exam took place on the female.
Yeah.
where the Coke bottle cap was discovered.
Interesting.
Yes. So come to find out, they didn't have an STD. They were both accusing each other of cheating.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Didn't have an STD.
Can you imagine?
Jeez Louise.
Putting, you know, having intercourse and abrading your penis on a Coke bottle cap. How'd that get up there? Do we know?
No telling.
Okay, sat on it.
Maybe she was showing off and she was showing how she could open the Coke bottle.
That's what I wondered, though. That's
very
what
well.
I'm asking.
Yeah, instead of a beer bottle.
Can you imagine
a Coke bottle,
trying to be able to do that? That'd be very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. It'd be funny.
That'd be frightening as well.
It would be.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, if you could do that with your vagina, that would be frightening. That is true. Because
why would you want to?
It's hard to do.
Show off.
I've seen people do it with their teeth, and it takes a lot of force, and I would not recommend that. That's a horrible thing to do to your teeth.
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that is an odd one. Usually the answer is I sat on it. That's the fiction that we have agreed between patients and emergency room people, that if you come in with a Coke bottle or a an aubergine or a carrot or a zucchini, could I name more fruits?
Banana.
A banana up your ass and you can't get it out, we will accept that you sat on it if you tell us that, because nobody wants to really know
how that happened.
Right. We know how it happened. But we'll let you save face by saying that you sat on it. Light bulbs. I've seen light bulbs. The weirdest thing I ever saw on an X-ray was 12 Barbie heads shoved up somebody's ass. And now this was a stock X-ray. I'm not violating anyone's confidence because it wasn't one of my patients, but it was horrendous. 12 Barbie.
Well, if you're going to stuff that up.
Well, if you're going to do one, you might as well do 12.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So anyway.
Go crazy.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, what do you got, Dr. Scott? I sent you several.
No, I don't have anything good.
No?
No, actually, we have a couple good
ones. That's a comment on the things I sent you. I get it.
A couple. We have a couple good ones.
Okay. There was one about the STD. That one?
Yeah, the Donovanosis.
Well, okay, that's ruining the surprise, but yes.
How the hell did that ruin a surprise?
Because you're telling everybody what the person had.
Well, like they're going to know. It is a sexually transmitted.
Maybe I had something lined up when you said Donovanosis to play Lime in the Coconut or something.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
But
okay, let's start this all over.
It's okay.
So in Britain, they have a sexually transmitted infection that is it's a flesh-eating bacteria, and I guess they present to the emergency department with some infected wounds, and they do a little scrape and find this crazy thing called...
Yeah, I actually don't have anything lined up.
Donovan knows.
I was just saying I could have. Right. And it's...
Oh, God.
It's grand... That's what I said. I might have had something, but I'm just effing with you, asshole. Don't worry about it. It's called granuloma inguinale, and the thing is that there's nothing new about it.
But it sounds horrendous.
I know, and they have been having these clickbait headlines saying flesh-eating sexually transmitted disease. It is not. It is not flesh-eating.
No.
It is. It looks like it is, because Dr. Scott, talk about what it looks like.
Well, all I can tell you is what it says here. It's got. It looks like ulcers.
Yeah.
Bloody sores.
Right.
Around on the genitals, and it just. I guess it looks awful and feels probably worse.
Yeah, it's slow growing open lesions directly on the genitals in both men and women. Now, 1 in 10 people will have ulcers in the area around the genitals and the anus, and even, of course, in the mouth. And they're usually painless at first, which makes some people think they have syphilis, because they know that starts as a painless lump. But syphilis will usually start as a chancre, which is a lump that then divides in two and then divides in four and then divides, you know, further and then disappears eventually. And then you think it's over, but it ain't.
No,
just like
very symmetric.
Lyme disease. Yeah, it hides for a while and then comes out later and really Fs you up. So, but they start as firm raised bumps. We call them nodular lesions, and then they split open into lesions. Now, could you get flesh-eating bacteria from this? You certainly could, if your hygiene is bad. And when these things open up and the right bacteria get in there, it could be a problem. Did you get the four types of Donovanosis, Dr. Scott? I didn't know if you had that in that.
No, I did not.
So there's four types. One is granulomatosis. This is the most common. They're beefy red in appearance. I hate it when they use food analogies to talk about these things. I remember, this abscess is about the size of a tangerine. Well, that was the end of my eating tangerines for a while, you know. So don't use... Please, journalists, don't use food analogies. But anyway, beefy red in appearance, and it gets grainier, and then lots of tiny blood vessels, and then they usually don't hurt, but they bleed easily. And then there's the hypertrophic ones, and these look uneven, and they're usually completely dry, but they look more like warts, but they're not. And then there's the necrotic ones that grow deeper into the skin. And then there are these ones that are fibrous that looks like scar tissue.
So, I just looked it up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you got a picture of it?
Oh, it looks horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah, Google image that one.
Yeah, that can't feel good.
Yeah, just Donovanosis. And then the bacteria Klebsiella granulomatosis infects this area. And that's what causes it. So it is a bacterium. And Klebsiella is a shitty one. It causes blood infections and urinary tract infections in people that are susceptible to it. Anyway. All right. That's a good one, Dr. Scott. I'll give you one of these.
Give yourself a bill.
All right. What else you got? Oh, and what, did they talk about the treatment in that one?
Yeah, amputation.
Shit.
I think if I had a penis and it looked like that, I'd probably want to cut it off.
Yeah, but if you take a Z-Pack, it'll get better. That's the great thing.
Azithromycin cures
everything.
Azithromycin. Do you want to do the
you do whatever
the
you
flu
want.
Strain being?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Being, or,
you and I have talked about that.
Yeah. A couple of shows back, we tried to prove or shows that there have been a couple of good things to come from COVID.
Yeah, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and this is one article Dr. Steve found the other day, which was the pandemic may have driven a flu strain into extinction. And they said, don't be too happy just yet, because
really?
It'll take a season or two to come
okay.
with the final.
Yeah, if there's one person out there infecting somebody with it.
Kind of determination. But it looks like influenza B, also known as the Yamagata.
Yeah.
Is one of four strains regularly included in annual flu shots. But what it looks like is, because of the COVID and our social distancing and mask wearing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that may be gone away forever.
And one of the things is there's no animal reservoir for this.
Yeah, right. If it has no host, it has no life, which
that's
is right. cool.
That's only infects
Keep it to yourself.
Humans.
Keep it to yourself.
Yamagata lineage of influenza B only, that's right, only infects humans. And Dr. Scott and I discovered this. I mean, we weren't the discoverers of it, but we discovered it for ourselves.
We hypothesized.
Yeah, when we were calculating what why we weren't seeing flu cases, and we calculated in the beginning of the pandemic what the infectability of COVID-19 was, and one person can infect 2.4 people with the old school, you know, COVID. Now it's up to between 5 and 9 with this Delta variant, which is what you and I got.
Mm-hmm.
But 2.4 people. Well, it turns out influenza, we looked it up, it's like 1.2. It's half of COVID-19. Well, when we have an influenza pandemic, at least in the most recent days, like 2009, we had one. We didn't do anything.
Right.
But the social distancing and the mask wearing and the washing of our hands and all the things that we did to modify the course of the COVID-19 pandemic just totally destroyed this influenza B strain. And good.
Yeah, so be.
Everything so that infects humans, viruses can kiss my ass. They don't do anything good. Can you think of one good thing? Well, I mean, we came up with some maybe good things
maybe
that
good
came
things.
from the pandemic, but the viruses themselves, they infect other people and multiply to what end? They're not trying to go to outer space or learn about new dimensions so that we can get the hell out of this universe when it finally, you know, goes to heat death. All of those things. They're not doing anything. They're not creating art. Screw them.
Be gone.
Death to all pathogenic viruses. And I had somebody email me, well, you know, you don't want to do that because some viruses are good. And it's like, okay, well, show me. And there have been some mutations. There is viral DNA in our species DNA, so they probably had something to do with some mutations that happened to us. Maybe they were good. Maybe they were bad. Maybe we'd be super geniuses now if it wasn't for the dumbass viral DNA in our DNA. But so even say that it was. That's not what I'm talking about. Influenza, what good does it do? COVID?
None.
Or any of the coronaviruses just decrease productivity. And you know what? These effing viruses, all coronaviruses, even the quote-unquote good ones that cause common colds, they still kill people.
Yeah.
Kill about 10,000 a year is what's estimated. It might be higher than that. But we never tested for them before.
No.
It was just it was some viral pneumonia killed them and nothing we can do about it. This is some bullshit. Mm-hmm. War on all viruses. We got rid of, okay, this is two down, Dr. Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Smallpox and influenza B Yamagata strain. You know, that's two down, about a jillion more to go, but we need to get rid of them.
You know, start slow. Start slow, Dr. Steve.
Do you think the Star Trek universe, do you think they have viruses that attack humans in that thing? We all want to live in Star Trek.
That'd be fun.
It's cool.
Didn't
go to Mars because Mars is cool. All right. Enough with my soapbox, but it just pisses me off, these viruses.
Fuck COVID.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, you're really sticking your neck out like I am. Ooh, he's really taking a stance.
He's good. I like it.
So, am I going to have to get you an Uber? Are you okay over there?
I got kids.
What number is that?
4.
Jesus. At least somebody's
okay.
Counting.
I didn't. Okay.
I got you back.
You're fine.
Sister.
You're fine. Yeah.
But remember, you're your own control freak. So
Dr. Scott will take care of
me. And I can reach my own volume button.
That's right.
You control
That's right,
freak
Dr. Scott.
You.
My arms are long enough.
All right. Where are we? Let's. You got any more? Or should we do some? You want to do some questions?
We can do some questions.
Did you have another one?
No, the guy Ryan on YouTube did have a good point.
Okay, what's that?
Real quickly, he was talking about the Cleveland Clinic study done showing that intranasal steroids do help stop the transmission of
that
COVID.
That makes sense. And I think that the fact that I used intranasal steroids from day one also protected me from losing my sense of smell. And I found a study on that, and they agreed. It was a very small study, but they thought that that helped.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because I do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, do you want me to tell you real quick?
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it says, they say what happens is that steroid blocks the ACE2 receptor sites inside the nose.
What?
Which is where the SARS-CoV enters those cells.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And then when it enters those cells, then it transmits all over the body. So just by blocking some of the cells in there, so.
They're saying that corticosteroids blocked
at ACE,
the
at
ACE2. The ACE receptor?
Yep, the ACE2 receptor. That's correct.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they're not saying, but the great thing is they're not saying it's a cure for it, but what they're saying,
no.
That does help, but it also really emphasizes the importance of the nasal mucosa in transmission of viruses.
But you know where I didn't get it from my nose.
No.
I got it from my eye.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I didn't stick my stupid finger in my eye either. I had somebody, you know, spewed COVID.
Not me.
Virus. No, it wasn't you. Viruses into my eye, even with full personal protective equipment on, because that's the one vulnerable place.
Yep.
So now if I had been wearing swim goggles, I might not have,
that one I felt just a little bit. Okay. Yummy.
There you go.
Hey, when she takes another shot, Dr. Scott, you should go to that three shot.
I got it, buddy. I'm already on it.
All right. Oh, okay. Are you? Okay. What I'm seeing is the two shot. It's a little delayed. We're still working out this camera thing, y'all. We're working on it. So those that are listening to this on the radio, we are broadcasting to a live audience, which is kind of fun. It makes it feel more, I don't know, I have a different energy.
A live audience, so they could call right now?
Yeah.
They could.
And they're actually talking to me via...
Yeah, Dr. Scott stays in touch with them. And if they have any questions, Scott, throw them at us. Let's do one of these.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, let's see here. I've been wanting to do this one for a little while.
Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Albert from Albuquerque.
Hey, Albert.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Hey, listen, I was just listening to you, and you're talking about Suboxone related to opioids.
Okay.
And I happen to have, a relation or someone I know that has an issue with and had an issue with heroin.
Okay.
And has successfully gotten off of heroin with the use of methadone. I think that might be the same as Suboxone. I'm not sure.
It's not, but we can talk about it.
Despite, her getting through this, she's done great. It has an impact on your dental situation. So she's got issues with teeth, and I've seen this quite a bit, and man, if we could figure that out, because the stigma of getting off of heroin is bad enough. God bless the people who can. But then to be kind of scarred with kind of that badge of recovery, I think is
well, I wonder if she was doing more than heroin. If you're doing methamphetamine,
that would make more
you
sense.
Certainly, yeah. It's a
mouth.
Yeah, you get constriction of the blood vessels that feed the teeth. But the other thing is it can happen with heroin as well, because when you are just strung out, you're not taking care of your teeth. It's the last thing you're thinking about.
Right.
And if you're sleeping with your mouth open, your mouth dries out, and then, it just, it's bad. So one thing is, there are some programs in some places that will take people who have no money, because usually when you get that bad, it's hard. You're not making any money. So and can work on their teeth and do cosmetic dentistry on them, or just fix their teeth. Let me just talk a little bit about the difference between methadone and Suboxone. You want to take this one? Hell, you're in this field. No, you don't want to. No, you're too wasted.
Snockered.
Probably not a good idea.
Just
for
another tequila.
For the one who is impaired to talk about methadone and Suboxone. But methadone is an opioid, a.k.a. a narcotic in the common parlance. People think that it blocks other opioids. It does not. It is a pure, what we call mu opioid agonist, but also has other effects, including the delta opioid receptor, and which is probably what gives it its potency. And it also works against a receptor called N-methyl-D-aspartate, which is the NMDA receptor. That's not apropos to this, but it is involved in neuropathic pain or the pain from nerve damage. So people with severe nerve damage from cancer or cancer chemotherapy that can't be treated with anything else, they've tried duloxetine, which is the drug of choice, or gabapentin, which is on the list. They've tried all these things and nothing works. Sometimes a very low dose of an NMDA receptor blocker, which would be methadone, will actually help them. So that's what methadone is. The reason the federal government uses it in these methadone clinics is because it's dirt cheap and it has a long duration of action. So they could use transdermal fentanyl patches if they wanted to, but they're like 10, 15 bucks a piece. Or they could use extended release oxycodone, which is known as OxyContin, but it's crazy expensive. This stuff's just dirt cheap. That's really what's good about it. Now, Suboxone is a combination of two drugs, naloxone, which is an opioid blocker, and buprenorphine, which is what we call a combined agonist-antagonist. So if you give that to someone while they are high on an opioid, it will kick them into withdrawal. Not because of the naloxone, though, because that doesn't go through the GI tract, but because the buprenorphine will knock it off. It will compete with the heroin, for example, and it will knock them off, and then it will cause withdrawal. But if the patient is just a little bit dope sick and you give it to them, now it'll hit those receptors the right way and they'll feel good, and that's why they'll use it. And you say, well, it's still, both of these are still opioids. Yes, but they're getting them under controlled, in a controlled environment. They're not copping on the street anymore. They can get it and you can maintain them for a long time. The reason the naloxone is in there is if you shoot it up, now the naloxone will work and it'll prevent it from working. So anyway, so there you go. Very interesting stuff. And I hope that your family member will get the help that they need with their teeth and that they stay off the stuff. And I'm very proud of them for doing that. All right. Well, I guess we better get out of here. I've got to get Dr. Scott to, what are you doing? Hot yoga?
Hot yoga.
Really?
It's not hot yoga. It's just, it's yin technically, Y-I-N, yin yoga.
What is that?
You just sit, stretch, meditate, let just things get really long.
Okay.
It's wonderful, and there's no...
I had my first out of...
No effort to it.
First and only out-of-body experience. No, not only, but my first non...
I have those often.
Non-induced out-of-body experience doing yoga. And it was on TV. It was that guy on the on the Oprah channel. What was that? O or whatever?
O?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what was his name? I don't remember. Ah, crap. But he's on YouTube, and he played kind of funky music and stuff, and he was real funny. And he had some people that could take, you know, stand on one foot and then take their knee and put it up against their ear, and, you know, with their foot, the other foot pointing straight up. And then he had other people like me that just were just... Ugh! But it turns out what the yogis will tell you is that even if you just try to attain those poses, you'll get the same benefit as the people who are actually doing the poses.
Oh. So, I do those poses, but I don't call it yoga.
Oh, okay. Well, time for us to get out of here.
Look at the hour. It's late.
I mean, it's like, well, and, you know, I hate to sound like that, but it's now all of a sudden become a, what do they call it, a hostile workspace. So I don't want to get in trouble later. We can't forget Dr. Scott. Thank you, Dr. Scott. NP Mel B, you're a delight to have in the studio. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teff, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte whore, NPMLB, listens to our show, the Saratoga Skank as well, Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, she who owns pigs and snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Steve Tucci, The great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Cardiff Electric, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's Daughter, Ron and Bennington, and Fizz Watley, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103s, Saturdays at either 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at either 5 or 6 p.m. Eastern, I don't know. On demand. Listen to it on demand. That's the best way to listen to it. That way we get credit for it. And other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, Dr. Scott.
Thanks, old buddy. All right.